The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Good morning. We're pleased to welcome this morning Ms. Hayden Brose. She is helping Bill Collins, keeping Bill straight over at the Northwestern BCM. She is a student at seminary, Southwestern Seminary. She's taking her classes remotely, except for a few, she said. And she is from the big city of Clutcherville. If anybody can come up here and spell Clutcherville, you can get you some candy out of the children's basket. But we're proud to have Hayden here with us this morning, and she's going to be giving us her testimony.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm Hayden. Kind of how I got here. Well, first of all, I have to say, y'all have all been so kind to me. I was so nervous and lost, didn't know how to get here, and y'all were just so kind to help me and introduce yourselves to me, so I appreciate that. Kind of how I got here, like speaking with y'all, so Brother Mark is the state director of all the BCMs in Louisiana, and I work for Brother Bill Collins, and he's the director at Northwestern, and so Brother Mark contacted Brother Bill, who then contacted me, so that's kind of how I got here. But whenever I was on the phone with Brother Bill asking him, like, what Brother Mark would like me to share, he was like, well, just a testimony. And I was like, oh, okay, like, my personal testimony from death to life in Christ, or what God is currently doing in my life, or where have I seen God move? Like, because there's several, like, testimonies and testaments I could speak about. And I went through all of them, and all he said was, yes. And so I was like, okay, well, I've got some things to think and pray about. And so what I'm going to share with y'all today is just the testament of the importance of my personal alone time with Jesus and what that has done in my life. But a little bit about me, or a little more about me. I'm 22. I graduated from Northwestern last May with a degree in hospitality management and tourism. And then the following semester, after the summer, I started seminary at Southwestern in Fort Worth. I'm remotely online, except for a few classes, and I'm thankful that I am online because that gives me the opportunity to work and serve with Brother Bill Collins and his wife, Miss P, and Miss Phyllis, and we have so much fun, and it's just a blast getting to serve the students and the campus at Northwestern. We have too much fun, honestly, but yeah, I'm super thankful for them allowing me to work with them, and Brother Mark, too, he allows me to work with them. But that's a little about me, so I guess I'll just start from the beginning. Let's see. So all my notes are on my phone. But growing up, I always believed in God. I believed there was a God, and I believed in his word, and I agreed with it, but I didn't fear God in the slightest. But I believed what he said was good, and I believed he was God. I didn't fear him at all. And so in high school and growing up, in my first semester, freshman year of college at Northwestern, I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it because I wanted to do it. And I didn't care what anyone else had to say or think, or what God had to say or think about it. I mean, I agreed with what he said, but if I wanted to do something, I was going to do it. And we all know doing that and living like that isn't living at all. And so I remember when COVID-19 broke out, and that was the first time, and I was just alone in my room, and I got my Bible, and I opened it up, and I read John. For the first time, I'd opened up my Bible, and I read it because I wanted to read it. You know, it wasn't because my pastor asked me to read it, or because my Sunday school teacher asked me, or because Brother Bill or Miss Phyllis asked me to read it. It was just because God wanted me to read it, and so I'll never forget it. I opened it up, and I read John, and then I read Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke, and then the rest is history. I began prioritizing a time in my day where I would just read and just pray and journal, and that became a part of my life. And through that, the prayers that I had once prayed all my life that were just out of routine, the same old prayer that I prayed every night or before I ate, you know, they changed and they became real. They were fervent and vulnerable and honest and real. Then I had the Holy Spirit who helped me, and the decisions that I once made just because I wanted to make them now yielded to what God and what His Word said. They weren't just my decisions, they were God's decisions through me. And that's, that's the best way to live. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys today to spend time with the Lord, whether it's, I try to do an hour a day, but, that seems like a lot. So you can build your way up to that, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, however much. Just time with Him is so, oh my goodness, it's so necessary. And there are grace for the days that, you just can't. From the time your feet hit the floor, you're running and going, and you don't have time to stop, but it's just so good. I have a professor in seminary right now, and at the beginning of every class, he would give us either a chapter or a passage of scripture to read, and he would want us to have our quiet time, like alone time with the Lord. We would read it and journal and pray and study it, and then we would move on with class. And I thought to myself, he is using a lot of his time to give us just to study God's word. Shouldn't they be teaching us stuff? Giving us valuable tools? And then I was like, well, there's absolutely nothing more helpful or valuable or better than Him allowing us to do that as part of His class. And so now I'm just so thankful that he allows us to do that. But there are two passages of scripture that I'd like to share with y'all. The first one is in Luke chapter 10, and it's verses 38 through 41. If y'all don't want to turn, I can just read them. But it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way home, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And I love that Mary knew that the best place to be was at the feet of Jesus. And I'm so guilty of being a Martha, with being busy and going places and doing the things, leading the studies, turning in assignments. And all of those things in and of themselves aren't bad, but if they're not coming from a place where I've just been at Jesus' feet, then I won't do them to the best. And I was thinking, Martha, what she wasn't doing, what she did wasn't bad. She was being hospitable and preparing the home. And, the Bible tells us to be hospitable, but we'll be the most hospitable and the best hospitable person when we're doing it out of a place of rest at Jesus' feet. And then the last passage is in John chapter 12, and it's verses 1 through 7. I'll read it. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's worth of wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. And those three words are probably some of my three favorite words in the whole Bible, the leave her alone. Because I was thinking, to people who aren't believers in Christ or who people that don't, have a personal relationship with Christ, of course, carving out time in your day to sit with Jesus and study His word, of course, it's going to look foolish. Judas was like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? And Jesus, he defended her. He said, leave her alone. And, I think we can all apply that, leave Him alone. If He, whenever we have that time in our day, it's just, I don't know, it's sweet to know that He's got our backs. And then I always plan, whenever I rehearse this at home or in my car, it takes me so much longer than whenever I actually get up here to speak. But one of the last things I'll share is a story. So I lead a Bible study in Clutchville with my dad every Thursday at 6:30. And whenever we first started, it was just him and I. And we've been doing it for about a year and a half now, and it's grown. And so now, you know, little families in the community come, and sometimes they're just random people that come, and it's great. I never know who's going to be there. But he started last June. He started building this shed in his backyard, and I say a shed, it's more like a house now. It's got like a brick floor and a tin roof, and he's got electricity and water running to it, but it's a shed. But whenever he was building it, whenever he first began building it, it was just like just the bones of it. Like there was just like the exposed beams, and there was no roof or brick floor. It was just, I don't really know construction terms, but it was just boards. And he's since finished it now, but whenever he finished it, he left those exposed beams. Like you can still see them. And one Thursday, we were all down there for Bible study, and we had two teenage boys, and they jumped up on those exposed beams and started doing, like, pull-ups. And then my dad looked over, and he jumps up there, and he starts doing pull-ups. And so, as boys do, it turned into this huge competition as to who can do the most pull-ups, and then who can hold on the longest. They were just going crazy with these pull-up competitions. Well, whenever it ended, I was looking up there, and I was like, well, I can do that. And so but I couldn't jump like they could to get to the beam, so I scooted up a chair underneath it, and I climbed on the chair and grabbed onto the beam and kicked the chair away, and I couldn't even bend my elbows, like, whenever I got up there, and everybody laughed, and it was funny. I laughed, and that went on. And then about 5 minutes later, one of the boys who was doing all the pull-ups comes up to me, and he's got this concerned, serious look on his face, and he's like, Hayden, if you were to fall off a building, you would not be able to pull yourself back up. And I was like, well, yeah, you're right, but I don't climb on buildings. Like, I have no reason to be on top of a building. And he was like, well, if you were to fall out of a tree, you wouldn't be able to pull yourself up either. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, if you were to fall off of anything that is higher than you, you wouldn't be able to pull yourself back up. And that scared me, and I was still on the ground, on the floor, or, like, standing. But instantly, I didn't feel as safe as I'd always have, because I knew that if I were to fall with anything higher than me, I wasn't going to be able to pull myself back up. So I drove home, and I was thinking about it, and I pulled open this drawer in my house, and it had, like, old, like, tangled up jump ropes and stuff in it, and there was two dumbbells. And so I started lifting these weights, and I'm like, every day I'm lifting these weights, doing push-ups. I've developed this whole, like, workout plan, like, I'm gonna be able to pull myself up. And so every Thursday was like the test, like, I'd jump on the beam and I could do it. And so I finally, like, weeks and weeks go on, and finally I could pull myself up. But I say all that to say, I was thinking, like, no one saw me in my room doing the weights, doing the push-ups. No one felt my sore. No one knew how my arms felt because they were so sore from my muscles being stretched. Like, no one helped me develop this workout plan. And with our quiet time with Jesus, and with my quiet time with Jesus that changed my whole life, no one saw me hardly ever in my room. No one saw me doing the prayers or the discipline that it took to leave the friends to go do my quiet time, or to, you know, the sacrifices that were made. But it was so necessary, because when life hits me with the hard things that it just hits me with, I can now pull myself up, because it's no longer my strength that pulls myself up. I've tapped into the Lord's strength. And so whenever I fall, it's His strength. It's not mine. But I don't know. That was all I had. And it kind of sounds like I lead the Bible study every week, so whenever I speak, it literally just sounds like this is like how I would do a Bible study. So I don't know if this is what y'all were expecting, or, but, and it was kind of short, but that was all I had for today. So I'll pray for y'all, and we can go about our day. Thank y'all. I'll pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for giving me these words to say. Thank you for every single person in this room and their kindness and just everything that they've done for me, and they don't even know me. I pray that we'll all prioritize our personal alone time with you, because it's so needed, and we're thankful that you've allowed us to have access to you and your word. We love you. Thank you for loving us, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.